Or Johnny and I must be thinking a lot alike this morning. He talked about school this morning. And the message that God has laid upon my heart this morning also has to do with school. And yes, the kids do start back this coming Thursday. And yes, the parents are probably more excited about that than most of the kids are. But when I was in school, two things was very, 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 very important for me to know. Number one, it was important for me to know how the teacher was going to grade. And by that, what I mean, you know, there's the standard grading, which is like 90 to 100 is an A, 80 to 90 is a B, and so on. And then I had a few teachers that graded on the curve. I don't know about you, but I never did like being graded on the curve. Being on the standard grade means that they were grading me on what I knew and what I understood about the information. Being graded on the curve means that my performance was being compared to the other students in the class. Well, I didn't like that, but some of the teachers did that. The other thing that was very important to me was finding out what was going to be on the test. I say finding out, knowing what was going to be on the test. And a lot of times the teachers would give you a study guide that says, this is some of the things that's going to be on the test. And if you were smart at all, you would take that study guide and you would go home and you would restudy those things and learn those things in depth. Now, I had one teacher in college that didn't pass out study guides. He also never told you what was going to be on the test. The thing, and I'm not exaggerating, he never put anything on the test that he covered in class. It's hard to study for something when you don't know what the test is going to be. He always wanted to make himself look good by making us look bad. And of course, he was a professor. He could do that pretty easy. But you never knew what was going to be on his test. Well, today we're going to be looking at making the grade spiritually. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 18. And we're going to be looking at two different things today. We're going to be looking at how does the teacher grade. Of course, God's the teacher. And we're going to be finding out what's going to be on the test. The two things that were very important to me back then are still very important to me. It's just my teachers have changed and the subject has become much more important than it was even in school. But in Luke 18, starting in verse 9, it says, Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Let's pray again. Father, we come before you, and I thank you for your word. I thank you for the message that you've laid upon my heart today. And I just ask you, Father, again, to put your anointing upon me. Help me to speak the words exactly like you want them to be spoken. I ask you to give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech, that your anointing and your empowerment would be upon me to preach this word, that it can speak to our hearts, and that it can literally change our lives for our good and for your glory. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one thing you need to understand right off, God does not grade on the curve. Folks, if he had graded on the curve, then the Pharisee would have gotten a higher grade instead of the publican, because the Pharisee said, I do all these things. And the publican could not even lift up his eyes into heaven, but instead he said, be merciful to me, a sinner. we need to understand that God never, ever, ever compares us with anybody else. Now, sometimes we compare ourselves to other people to make us feel good. Now, we might say, well, I'm better than so-and-so because I go to church more than they do. Or I'm better than so-and-so because I give more than they do. Or I'm better than so-and-so because I don't cheat on my taxes, or I'm honest in business, or whatever the case may be. Folks, that is a comparison between you and them, and they are not the standard. In verse 9 that we just read, it said that this parable was written to certain who thought they were righteous. In other words, they were self-righteous. And the Bible tells us very clearly that our righteousness is as filthy rags, and it literally makes God sick. So do not compare yourself to anybody else. God says that we ought to compare ourselves to His Word. Now, you can't get any higher standard than that. Compare yourself to God's Word, not each other. God wants to know how are you doing according to His standards, according to His commandments. There's an instance in John chapter 21. It says, Peter, seeing John, says to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Can you imagine that? Peter standing there in front of Jesus and saying, well, what about John? What's he going to do? And Jesus says to Peter, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow thou me. In other words, Jesus is saying, Peter, if I want John just to hang around and chill out and do nothing till I come back, that's none of your business. You are supposed to follow me. I am the standard. And a lot of times we even look at how much we give. And we all know the story of the widow's mite. But folks, we know that it is not about how much you give. She only gave what is called the widow's mite. But she gave more than all of the others because she gave all that she had. And I can promise you, the Bible doesn't tell us specifically right there, but the Bible tells us that if we sow much, we're going to reap much. I can promise you that lady had blessings in her life because of her willingness to give all that she had to Jesus Christ. But Jesus was not comparing her to the others. He was looking at what she did with what she had, and he was well pleased with that. Over in the book of Acts, they were getting ready to take up an offering. Now, this was not the tithe. This is an offering. We know that everybody's supposed to give the tithe. But in Acts chapter 11, it says, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Every man according to his ability. Again, God didn't set in a certain amount and say, okay, you have to give so much. It said that they determined according to each one of their abilities. God does not judge us according to what somebody else has done. We need to understand that. He does judge us according to what we should be doing. And going back to John and Peter, he told Peter, forget about John. You follow me. Now, I don't know about you, but it gives me a great sense of relief of not being judged and compared to other people. I understand and I realize that I'm not as talented as other people, and I'm not as smart as some other people. I didn't like that in school, and I still don't like it when people try to compare you. I had some very, 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 very intelligent friends in school. Two of my closest friends were George and Larry. George, I may not get the exact numbers right here, but George came in like number 4 in the class, and Larry came in like number 5 or number 6. And I've told you guys several times that I was the part of the class that made the upper two-thirds possible. So we shouldn't compare each other, should we? I had very intelligent friends, but none of my teachers that I can remember ever said, well, Greg, why aren't you like George and Larry? And in my own mind, I was thinking, man, just to be half as smart as those guys were, it would be great. These were the kind of guys that didn't even have to study, could go in and ace the test. You know, the kind that everybody hated. But God does not compare us to each other. All God expects me to do is to be the very best me that I can be to His glory. And guess what? That's something I can do. I can't compare myself to others. I can't reach their level of intelligence or their level of talent or their level of ability, but I can be the best me that I can be to God's glory. And guess what? You can be the best you that you can be to God's glory. God does not compare us to each other, and we should not be comparing ourselves to each other. I've shared with you before about a gentleman up at New Sulphur called Little Jimmy. And Little Jimmy was little. Would he even be 5 foot tall, Diana? And he was not very tall at all. A little Indian man, couldn't read, couldn't write. But he knew how to pray. In fact, I shared with you a couple weeks ago that I told Diana, if I'm ever taken to the hospital, you go get Little Jimmy. And then you go get Brother Glenn. And then you come to the hospital. Well, if you tried to compare Little Jimmy to somebody like, say, Billy Graham, would there be a comparison? No, there wouldn't be, would there? Billy Graham had traveled the world spreading the gospel. I doubt if Little Jimmy ever left the state of Arkansas. But in God's eyes, He's just as pleased with Little Jimmy as He was with Dr. Graham. Because Little Jimmy was the absolute best that he could be. Folks, he was a prayer warrior, and without people like that, the church is in trouble. So we need both kinds. So God never compares us to one another, and we should not compare ourselves to anybody other. We just ought to focus on being the very best that we can be, again, to God's glory and to the increase of His kingdom. Now, the second thing that I said that was important is, what's going to be on the test? Now, let me share this with you. I know some of you might be thinking, well, I didn't know there was going to be a test to get into heaven. Well, the only real test to get into heaven is, have you received my Son Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? But if you've studied the Bible at all, you know that God says that we will be judged according to our works. So this, what I'm getting ready to go over with you now has nothing to do with actually getting into heaven. It's just, are you prepared to meet God face to face where you won't have to be ashamed of the life that you've lived? And there's several things, and I mean, this is just a very short list of what's going to be on the test. But I can promise you the things that I'm getting ready to go over will be on the test. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 39. They say to Him, talking to Jesus, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Now that ought to tell you right there that that is a very important question. They're asking Him, what is the greatest commandment? What is the most important commandment in all of the law? If we have to obey just one thing, what would it be? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Folks, God is all about love. If He wasn't, you would have no chance to be saved because you did not deserve it. I did not deserve it. But God is all about love, and He wants us to be all about love because that is the first and the great commandment. We need to look at ourselves and say, how is my love walk? Am I walking in love every single day? And not just talking about the people that we want to love, talking about loving our enemies. We all have enemies. We all have people that we don't like. And I've had people before tell me, well, there's nobody that I don't like. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. There's always people that we don't like, and we are commanded to love them. So I can promise you that that one will be on the test. God wants to know, did the world see my love shining through your life? Another thing that will be on the test, and this one, I really hope this one sinks in. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verses 15 and 16, it says, as he which hath called you is holy, in other words, as God is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. I want you to notice there, God is going to compare our holiness to his holiness. He's not going to compare your holiness to anybody else's holiness. We ought to be shooting for the high standard of holiness, and that is God's holiness. And just in case you don't know, the word holy means pure from every fault, or to be immaculate, to be spotless, to be clean, to be blameless. There should not be anything in our lives that disgraces God in any way whatsoever. I don't care how small it is. There should not be anything. It says pure from every fault. And folks, we need to look at our lives and ask ourselves, am I really living a holy, pure life? And the Bible tells us, without holiness, no man shall see God. That's how important this is. We need to make sure that we're living holy lives. And I've heard people tell me before, well, God cannot expect us to live holy. We're just humans. Well, God's never going to command you to do something you cannot do, something that you are not capable of doing. So God expects you to be holy. He has commanded you to be holy, and therefore he says you can be holy. In fact, in that verse it says, in all manner of conversation. In other words, in everything you do, you need to be holy. In your conversations, at work, in what you watch on the TV, and what you watch on the internet, and what you read, everything you do, you need to be holy, and I can promise you, that one will be on the test. Another one that will be on the test. Matthew 6:33, and I mentioned this earlier, but we're going to touch on it again briefly here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, are you putting God first in your life? How often do you read God's word? How often do you pray? How often do you meditate upon the things of God? Well, if it's not every day, and if it's not several times throughout the day, then you are definitely not putting God first. And it comes with a promise. He says that if you will put me first in my righteousness and my kingdom first, then all these other things shall be added unto you. It comes with a promise. But I can promise you this. When we get to heaven, God is going to ask us. In fact, he's already going to know, but he's going to ask us, did you put me first in your life? That will be on the test. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, folks, there's a couple of things in here. First of all, it's saying it is unwise not to know the will of the Lord. And I'm going to take that even a step further. If you don't know the will of God for your life, you are wasting your life. If you're not living in God's will for you, you are wasting your life, because God has a very specific plan for you. We've talked about that before, and you need to be living that life. I don't care if you're the governor of Arkansas, the president of the United States, whatever you are, if God told you to do something else, you're still wasting your life. So we need to make sure that we are definitely following God's will and that we know what His will is. And even after we know His will, the second part of that says that we are to be filled with the Spirit of God, which is the power of God. So we need to know God's will. And then we need to be full of the Spirit. We need to be led by the Spirit. We need to be empowered by the Spirit so the Spirit can lead us and guide us and work through us. And again, I can promise you that will be on the test. Let's go with one more. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, Paul says, put off these things, anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deed and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, I think just by reading that list of things that we ought to put off, you can tell that that is going to be on the test. Did you put off all of these things? Let's go over that list again. Anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication, and lie not one to another. And if you read the other parts of the Bible, the list goes on and on and on of things that we should put off, and God is going to ask us if we did that. Now, folks, we could go on and on with different scriptures that tells us what's going to be on the test, but here's the main point. There is going to be a test. Since we don't know the date of the test, we seem to kind of slough it off. But there's going to be a test. And God is very clear about what we need to do to prepare for the test. There's not any surprises. He's given us not only the Bible to study, He's told us what's important to Him. Of course, everything in the Bible is important, but there are some things more important to God than others. Love is at the very top of that list. Purity and holiness is on the top of that list. If you go over the fruit of the Spirit, all of those things are very, very, very important to God. So there isn't any surprises. Again, going back to school, I used to hate pop quizzes because you never knew when they were coming. Well, there's not going to be a pop quiz. God has told you there is a judgment day coming. There's going to be a test day coming, and that we need to be prepared. And just like when we were in school, we come out better if we have studied and apply ourselves. And I've shared this with you before, but I'll tell you again because it's a perfect example. In high school, I did have a very low self-esteem. And I did compare myself in some ways to the people that were smarter than me, and I just really didn't think I was that smart and really just didn't think I could do that well. Well, I finally got into college, and it still took me a few years there, but after I got into college and it finally dawned on me that I did have a certain ability, that if I would just study and apply myself, I could do more than I was doing. So I started studying, and I started applying myself. And guess what? My grades went up. The first 5.5 years of college, I was very, very, very fortunate to get a B. I mean, very fortunate. And you say, well, weren't you going to class? Well, yeah, sometimes. I'm kind of like a lot of people that go to church. I went sometimes. I always went to the campus, but I was real busy playing ping pong. I have about a $30,000 ping pong degree. It's not hanging on the wall, but I'm pretty good at ping pong. You can ask any of our disciples. They can tell you I've only been beat once in 18 years by anybody. Actually, be more than 18 years now, about 20 or 21 years. But when I finally learned to study and learned to apply myself, in the last 3.5 years of my college degree, I only made 3 C's. The rest of them were A's and B's. See, the opportunity was always there. I just wasn't studying, and I just wasn't applying myself, and a lot of us do the same thing. We have the opportunity through God's Word and through the church and through the Sunday school and through the Wednesday night classes and all the different things that we have, but we're not studying and applying ourselves. So just like in life, if we were studying and apply ourselves, we come out better prepared for life. And when it comes to God's Word, if we were studying and apply ourselves on God's teaching, we will be better prepared to meet Him in heaven. I like what Paul says. And I'm going to read this the way he wrote it, and then I'm going to reread it with our theme today. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. But we could read it this way. I have studied hard, and I have applied what I learned, and I have finished strong. Same thing, isn't it? And then he goes on in verse 8 and says, henceforth, because I've done all of those things, there is laid up for me an honor roll student diploma in heaven, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. It's very obvious that Paul passed the test. Again, he said, I fought a good fight, and I finished my course, and I have kept the faith, and he said, I know I'm going to receive a crown of righteousness. Well, not only did he pass the test, but folks, he's helped us by giving us insights to what's going to be on the test. The question now is, will you pass the test? Are you preparing for the test? You know, when I was in high school and I didn't study and I didn't prepare, I couldn't be mad at anybody else besides me for not passing the test. And just like in school, you're going to be responsible for your own grade. God is not going to compare you to the people that's doing better than you or the people that's doing less than you. He's going to hold out His Word and says, okay, here's the standard. Here's the information that's going to be on the test. Are you ready? One last verse that I want to read as we're closing here. Paul also told Timothy, he said, study to show yourself approved unto God. Folks, I don't know about you, but I get this vision of taking this test, and it's just me and God in the room, and He's given me the test. And at that point, I am hoping and praying that I have studied to the point that I can be approved unto God. I remember when I was studying to get my ordination license. I studied everything that I could possibly think to study to get men's approval. How much more should we study to get God's approval? And in reality, the test isn't going to wait till we die. Folks, we have tests every single day of how we've handled our situations and if we're ready to pass the test. We need to know, and we need to make sure that we are preparing for that test. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, I come before You, and again, I thank You for Your Word. I know I do that frequently. But Father, Your Word is so precious to me. And I thank You for the love that You have shed abroad in our hearts, that You've given us the Holy Spirit, Father, that You have sent Jesus, Your Son, to be our Savior. And Father, that You love me just like You love everybody else. In fact, You love me just as much as You love Jesus Christ, Your only Son. And Father, I thank You that You've given me Your Word to study and to prepare and to get ready for the test that's coming. Because, Father, there truly is coming a day when we need to make sure that we are ready to stand before you, where we will not be ashamed, and where we can say, Father, I finished the course that you gave me, and I kept the faith, and I have finished the job that you gave me, and I'm ready for the test. And God, if there's anyone here today that needs to make a commitment to studying your word and to praying and being what you want them to be, I ask you that you would give them the boldness and the courage to bring that need before you this morning. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.